2:00, we're ready to begin our school board meeting. We are at the school district office. Today is Wednesday, December 10th, 2025. And in attendance, we have Jill Porter, Vice President Ryan Savage, Jack Hansen, and myself, John Foster. From the administration, we have Superintendent Dr. Kate Douglas, Assistant Superintendent Mike Willis, Business Administrator Chad Lloyd, and Executive Secretary Krista Nielsen. We'll begin our meeting with the preliminary, and Jack Hansen will take care of that.
Our Father in Heaven, we humbly bow our heads before Thee this day and give thanks, Father, for the many blessings we enjoy. We ask a blessing to be with upon our leadership here as a Sevier School District. We pray for their health and strength and continued guidance. Bless them with the knowledge to be able to make decisions that will benefit our student body population and all those involved. We're grateful, Father, for all that Thou gives. And pray for the continued health and strength of all of our student bodies throughout the district, and pray that we all might make good decisions towards that end. Go with us this day, we pray humbly, in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Everybody stand, follow me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. I'd like to welcome Mr. Lee's principal meetings for board meeting. Thank you for coming. First item on our agenda is the consent agenda. Is there, from the board, any comment or questions or discussion of the items on the consent agenda?
I have one quick comment. There's a couple of these policies that were, two of them, that we'll bring back with a minor correction. As we've studied them, there's still some things. We just want to make sure the language is really clear. So we'll bring back the compensation and benefits. We're going to do another slight change, so it'll come back for second and third reading, as well as what was the other one? The leave policy 2045. We're going to clarify one more thing there, so it'll come back for a second and third. But those are good changes. We just, as we study them and continue to look at them, we just want to make sure we get them right. So nothing major, just makes it more clear. So you'll see those changes next month, and then the next.
Thank you. Any other comment or any other discussion? In that case, I would entertain a motion that we accept the consent agenda.
I'd make that motion, Mr. President.
I'll second it.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Next up, that brings us to our report from Principal Reeves at the North Sevier Middle School. Please take the mic.
Oh, you already have my thing up there, so I guess I just, you guide me. I'm happy to be here to highlight a couple of the good things, the great things of our school. Super proud to be there. We have an amazing faculty, amazing student body, and it may be more important than anything else. I just wanted to say that our culture at our school is fantastic. So I love being there, and let's move down a little bit. So already seeing a little bit of a better attendance rate in the school. So last year, about 72% of the in the green. This year we're up to 76. So hopefully that continues to be something we can improve. And Wanted to highlight a couple of the good things from our RISE testing data this last year. Number one, we led the state average in seventh and, or we were above state average in seventh and eighth grade testing in language arts, and we were above the district average in the seventh grade area. So those were some awesome spots for us. The growth percentile, we were above district average in all three areas, or at in the sixth grade area, but above, well above in seventh and eighth. So we grow really quite well at North River Middle School. In writing above state average in the area of writing, and then we go down to math, and we at or above state average in seventh grade and eighth grade, and then led the district in the eighth grade area of mathematics. So that was awesome as well. Good highlights there. Have some room to grow in sixth grade math, and we've made some adjustments there, and hopefully we can see some good things coming out of sixth grade this year. In our growth percentile, again, either at or above district average in all three areas of the school. So, again, we grow pretty well at North River Middle School. So, same thing kind of holds true in the science realm of things. So, kind of at or above the state. The district average in eighth grade, and then above the go down to the median growth. So growth, where this is where I'm saying that or above in seventh and eighth grade. So well above in seventh grade our growth percentage, which is pretty good because we had a new seventh grade science teacher last year. So for him to do so well, as far as growth is concerned, that was pretty awesome. So, anyway, good for a new teacher. You had the slides. So some of the things, though, that we needed to make some changes on, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but the bottom bullet point there, our flex time schedule in the past, we've really kind of slid into the habit of using that time to make up assignments and do busy work when they hadn't done it during class, and we're really, really making a push this year to make sure flex time is used to better instruct students on the essential standards of the courses. So, and that's gone quite well. So hopefully we see some major improvements on that. So our school improvement plan, but everybody had this, right? So if you have any questions, then please let me know. But let's go down to the counselor mental health. This is one of our school goals that I really wanted to focus on this year. In our surveys from last year, we noticed that although they were okay in the 70-something percent, a little small to see, but parents and students felt welcomed into the school, but kind of it was one of our lower areas. By the nature, I think elementary school people have good luck because people come into the school to help read to their kids or do class parties or whatever. And in the high school, they're always there for sporting events. But middle school, we've kind of not been great about inviting them in too much. So that was one of the main goals this year, is get people into the building way more frequently and make them feel more comfortable being there. So at the end of the year, I suspect this is going to be, I asked for a 5% jump, but I bet it's more than that because we've already had, I've struggled to count the number of people, but we've had hundreds more in the building this year than what we have done in the past decade or more, so it's been awesome to see them. Part of that was naturally gifted to us with the North River High remodel, so we hosted a lot of the volleyball games, and so I kind of tried to take advantage of having more people.
The gift that keeps on giving.
Yes. Yeah, so, and it will keep on giving because we're going to host the pageant this year because of the remodel of the high school.
For the auditorium.
Yeah, the auditorium. So we'll have the pageant at the middle school this year. But also, and it talks about this a little bit lower on, but some of the high school musical students have really wanted to take on the junior high musical this year, so they came and met with me, and they are doing auditions this next coming Monday, and then they're going to have practices and have a junior musical coming up in February. So we hope to have a bunch more people enter the building and feel a little bit more connected. So that.
Did they decide on the musical yet?
Matilda.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So I had a couple of kids who, you know, hooping and hollering when they found out about that. Like, I get to be a speaking part in this, because they jump on board with the High School Musical, but they don't really get to speak. So, you know, not really something that I would want to do, but the kids love it. So,
we did those when I was principal there, and I know when Mrs. Porter was principal there, we did musicals each year. We had a faculty member that was really would take it on, and it was so positive. It's a great opportunity for a lot of kids.
Was that Karen Hales?
Yeah, Karen used to.
My first year, Karen was there, and it was still a big deal, but then it's gone away, and we've had a lot of requests.
The principal to bring back. Always had to have a cameo in it.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
Where will you be holding the pageants?
In the auditorium, the cafetorium, and it's not huge, so it'll be packed. I'm sure.
Mm.
It's not quite as big as the high school's auditorium, but
I mean, are they aware of those the capacity? And
yeah, they brought I brought them in, you know, those that are in charge of it, and they wandered the whole thing, and we counted up chairs, and they realized that it's not going to be as, you know, there won't be as many seats, but
they might even have to limit their tickets.
Mm-hmm. I have to limit tickets. I know the last, the first basketball game that we hosted, they kind of had to send out a message of no nor severe couches in the basketball game at the middle school, because that doesn't fit, and, you know, people were not thrilled about that, but they were still happy to have a spot. So.
Or just tell parents they can only come one night.
That's probably
because
a good
lot of parents come every single night, the same parents. That would be a big problem.
Yeah, that's a good idea. That's a very good idea. So other things that we've done to help students be a little more connected, that the main picture there, this year we started a student body officer group of kids. They get together and have made decisions about dance parties and hot chocolate parties, and so they were elected, and then we kind of went through and made sure that they were good kids that deserved to be on there, and it has been an awesome shift in kids letting us know their opinions of different things. So that's been one of the main things. Anyway. I'm happy that we're doing it. So, and we had a great teacher kind of just jump on and say that she wanted to help them through this process, and that's been awesome. I'm gonna go down. This is some of the things that we've done to plan better professional development, and we can skip through a little bit. We have a very veteran staff, only two kind of new teachers. Two are openly saying that they're at the end of their time and they're ready to retire, so we'll probably be picking up two new ones next year. But for the most part, like, we haven't had new teachers much over the last long while. Last year we made our first full-time teacher hire in, I think it was 8 years. Before that, everybody was just constantly there, and so... and he's doing quite well. He fits in quite well with the rest of the faculty. So we have, I said earlier, the culture is something special at most of our middle school. Like, we love each other. So I've talked about parent involvement. A couple other things that we did, if you'll scroll down, I think one more. Had an opening pool party that I invited anybody to. That picture doesn't show justice, but we had that pool packed. It was pretty fun. We hosted a night, a daddy-daughter dance sort of thing. The high school drill team helped with that. They came in and they ran the whole thing, and there was a dinner and a dance, and it was a lot of fun. We had probably 150 people come in, and they enjoyed their time there at the middle school. And And then the last thing that I really wanted to touch on was our transitions. I feel like we do a fantastic job with our transitions from 5th to 6th grade and then again from 8th to 9th grade. Kind of unique, and maybe it's because of the size of the school that we're able to do this, but we bring all the 5th graders over and have the kids that are going to be 8th grade leaders in the school guide them around, take them on a tour, introduce them to a lot of the teachers, show them the different parts of the building, and but the thing that I think is better than that is the 8th graders moving on to 9th grade. We meet with them, the school counselor meets with them, that has been me, but Barry Smith will do that this year, where he'll meet with them to go over their four-year plan of what they should expect to do and what they want to do with their lives. He'll meet with them about those four-year plans, and then high school student body officers come over and they help build the 9th grade schedules with those 8th graders, so it's not quite as scary of a process. And then we meet with their parents during that same time to verify that their parents are happy with the schedule that they've built, and then they meet with the high school counselor all in one. It's a one-stop shop that gets them prepared for high school, and they feel quite comfortable, along with going to the high school for a tour and doing the same sort of things over there with the coaches and clubs and whatnot. But that's a good connection from one school to the other. And we've talked as a counselor team across the district of how to make that happen, but due to the nature of how many kids we have, maybe it's easier for us to do than other schools, but I would highly encourage that same sort of a thing for across different schools. It's something great that we do. So, anyhow. The other things that were on the slides, something that you could just look over, but those are the things that I really wanted to point out. Those are the things that I'm most proud about of the school. Just our culture is awesome, and the kids are amazing, and it's been a wonderful start half year to the school year, and very few problems, and you know, just the regular things, but they're going, it's going well. So
I'm just gonna mention a couple quick things. It has, I think, one of the real benefits, it's just been such a pleasant transition. Where Mr. Reese was the assistant principal, the students, the community, the staff, they all knew him and trusted him. It was just a super smooth, super, super smooth transition. He's already building upon great things that he was able to work with Principal Hink on, and I mean, just already made significant improvements upon that foundation. It's exciting. You know, one of the things you mentioned that I haven't thought a lot about is the consistency of that staff. What a blessing. I mean, it really, to say that you haven't hired a full-time teacher in 8 years, that's awesome. And that's good for kids. One thing Sevier School District did a lot of, you know, years ago, Mrs. Porter, Mr. Hanson, several of you remember, was that principals got changed really, really frequently. And I really think we've reaped the benefit of having the administration and teachers staying put and having the opportunity to really bring about the vision, implement the vision. Because sometimes those goals and improvements that you want to make take time to really implement. Another thing I've learned I've learned it the hard way, because my personality is do 20 things at once. A bad instructional practice. You have to implement one focus at a time. Take things. You got to go slow to go fast. But that's really a cool testament to it.
Yeah.
I love seeing the pictures. All of this. I love North Shore Middle School. My heart is still there. I love teaching there. I love being a principal there. It's a great place.
Great place.
Thanks for all your hard work.
Yeah. Great place. It does come with, I guess, the super veteran staff is going to, it'll turn over at some point, so I suspect in the next 7 or 8 years that it'll be half will be gone, so but one at a time, hopefully. All right, thanks.
Well, thank you very much for your presentation. We appreciate hearing what's happening at the middle school. Thank you so much for coming. Appreciate the great job you're doing there. It doesn't look like we have any public comment today, so our next item will be discussion items from the board. Just a reminder about the USBA conference. It's coming up in January. And then I see there's a comment here about recognizing board members for their years of service. Jack Hansen, 23 years. That's awesome. Rick Moore, 22 years. Myself, 9 years. Ryan Savage, 7 years. And Jill Porter, almost a full year.
A heck of a year, it's
been.
Yeah. It's been great to have you. Great. It really has.
Booyah.
Surprised.
Next, we'll move to items from the administration. Superintendent. Really enjoyed your radio broadcast this morning. Topics that you discussed. Very good.
Yeah, thank you. It was fun. It was. We do the radio about every 6 weeks. And it was a fun one. We'll get it on our website. If you missed it, you can listen to it. But there was just a lot of energy, positive. It was really fun to highlight Norcester High School with Principal Harris. And then if you didn't hear it, you get a chance to hear it. But I talked about some reports that have come through the Utah Foundation, and the Utah Foundation is doing some really great work on what they call social capital. And I'm just passionate about it. It's things like reading to your kid, the value of eating dinner together as a family, the importance of limiting screen time. These are all things that I'm extremely passionate about that I've seen work. And we've got to turn the corner. Utah used to lead the country in all those categories, and we have slipped. We've really dipped. Even just reading to your child, I think we're now in the bottom 10 in the country. So we've got to step up as a society and make those important things last. Another indicator, spending time as a family. It's a great report. It's very thorough. Probably, I think it's 80 pages, the full report. But just things, traditions that have made Utah great, you know, hunting and fishing with your kids. It talks about that. And it wasn't the hunting and the fishing that made it so wonderful. It was the time you spent with your grandparents or your parents. I used to think it was a bad day if you didn't catch any fish, but I realized that those are good days too. So we just need to, we've got to challenge ourselves as a society. And then I talked a lot about supporting your public school. We need our, and I've said it many times, we need every family in Sevier County fully engaged and participating and supporting our public schools. And we don't have that. So it was good. It was a fun. It's not always fun. It's kind of nerve-wracking to go on the radio, but it was a fun day. Legislative priorities, we've hit on a lot. I actually have a JLC meeting tomorrow up in Sandy that I'll be driving up to attend. I've said this again and again. 10 years ago, I just hit the legislature really hard during the session, January through March. Now we meet at least monthly with legislators year-round. They met yesterday in a special session. I'm sure you've read in the news. It's becoming more and more common. If we don't, and we're going to meet with 8 legislators tomorrow. They're going to come in and present to our body, and we're going to take positions on bills, and we're able to ask them questions. And it's a lot. It's stressful. It's a lot of work. But like Chad said in his audit presentation, we've done very well. I mean, I want to publicly thank the legislature, as Chad did, for funding public education. We still have a ways to go, but if you really look at it, we've done very, very well in funding education. A lot of that is our relationship with the legislature, our good local legislators, our leaders up there, and they believe in public ed. So I'll keep you posted as that comes up. I don't have anything major. I've already hit on most of the big topics. The annual report we posted, but it was a very rough draft. I really appreciate Krista working so hard to get it get it to this stage. We will repost it next board meeting because there's several indicators on there that have changed. Our assessment measures, there's different assessments that have come and gone, so there's some things we'll adjust. So watch for an updated, probably finalized version of that next month. One thing I wanted to mention that is really a highlight, I actually mentioned on the radio as well, is the graduation rate. So over the years that I've been at the district office, I think this is my 15th year, we've hovered in the 86% to 88% range for graduation rates. And the way they calculate that is every single student that starts at a high school their freshman year, it's a cohort. So they track those students to verify. So if North Sierra High School has 78 students start as freshmen, they track those 78 to verify if they graduate from high school or not. And it's tricky. There's some statistical errors. You know, we'll have a student move their sophomore year and somehow it doesn't get tracked right. So a lot of it has to do with our secretaries and support staff and principals really tracking that appropriately, making sure the students' records do get transferred. If the student chooses to homeschool or attend an online school, that we transfer that student's accountability and responsibility to that other school. And then we also have students move in from other schools randomly. We might have a student move into North Sierra High School in that cohort of 78 with 2 months left before graduation, and we don't know where they're at. And then those numbers are a little statistically tricky. But it's always bothered me. We've worked really hard. Our goal is to get above 90%. Let's get above 90%. Last year we were 86.2, and I just got the report last Wednesday, and we're at 92.2. So we overcame that hurdle. That's impressive. At the state, it's above the state average. The state average was 89.2, I think, and we're at 92.2. So super proud of all of our hardworking principals, preschool through high school, on the graduation rate. We know that if a student isn't reading on grade level by third grade, their potential to graduate is significantly decreased. So Cedar Ridge High plays a pivotal point in that as a safety net for students. All of our high schools have done a great job. So I'm really hoping we can continue to see that climb and not only graduate students a high percentage, but graduate them with pieces of a career and a pathway and knowledge, and really have not only have high graduation rates, but also have high assessment rates. And you'll see that reflected in the report card as we're working on it. There's a few errors on there and things that we need to adjust, but we'll talk about the report card again next month. My item three just talks about just thanking you for allowing me the flexibility to serve on all these different committees. It's a lot of work. I mentioned that past superintendents throughout the state have served on those committees, and as I became more of a tenured superintendent, I've stepped up and served on those committees. Now I'm trying to, some of them I've been on for a decade, I'm trying to get other superintendents that are now ready. Because those committees also, they need new visions and new superintendents. So some of those I'm hoping over the next year or two I'll be able to step away from and mentor other superintendents into taking leads and gaining. Every one of those, there's a couple that came off from last year, but one or two got added. But every one of those I've learned from. Like, it's blessed my life. It's a lot of work, but it changes my perspective and gives me a lot of opportunities. So I've made it a tradition in December of just mentioning those and thanking you for allowing me to do those. My discussion item, I just only have one, and it's just a reminder on our district vision, mission, and goals. It ties back to our book, The Multiplier Effect. We've actually read through the entire book now, and we're going to start again. We're going to read. That's kind of our tradition with these book studies, is we read through them twice to make sure we didn't miss anything, to make sure we're still implementing. But I love this quote from the final chapter. And it says, which will you be, a genius or a genius maker? And what it's talking about there is the ineffectiveness of leaders that are super, super smart and do everything on their own. They're very ineffective. I've always said I was a good sixth grade math teacher because I really struggled in math. Does that make sense? It helped me explain it in a different way. I know as a leader, and I think it drives some of our people crazy sometimes, but I seldomly, if ever, make a decision alone. I always bounce it off Chad. I think he gets sick of me. I call him on everything, and he knows everything, even where I fish. I call Chad first for advice. I bounce everything off of Mike. I bounce everything off of Nolan Anderson, Lisa Crane, Chet Torgerson. I mean, it's all of our directors, our principals, we make decisions together, but that's what this is talking about. That's what the whole book is the multiplier effect. You take everyone and you just keep enhancing. Are you a sage that is noted for his or her knowledge and smarts, or are you known for releasing the smarts of others? I love that quote. I actually have a lot more love and respect for leaders that empower other leaders and get everyone going versus just their own personal intelligence. Perhaps you stand with one foot on the building and the other on the wire. Shift your weight. He's talking about someone taking that step onto a wire that crosses a big, you know, two buildings or whatever. Shift your weight, be the genius maker, and unleash brilliance all around you. And that's what I believe in. I've had to do it because I'm not smart enough. I've had to use other people. I can't make those decisions alone. But it's a blessing. That's what this book is preaching. So it's great. Principals are buying in. As I've, over the last 3 months, I've been commenting and providing feedback to principals on their goals, their self-evaluations, their vision and plans for their schools. And I'm seeing evidences of this in all of their goals, which they're really trying to look at their staff. Every single staff member has something to offer, if not multiple things to offer, but they won't offer it unless you give them the opportunity. It's been a great book study. It's really helped me. We've also, and Mr. Willis might talk a little bit about it, but we've been doing our data visits where we sit down. It's a lot of work. When we do them, it's a long and stressful day. It's a lot of work. But we go meet with the principal, the assistant principal, instructional coach of each school, and we go over their data. We talk about what areas of strength, areas of weakness, what we're seeing, concerns we have with everything from safety to student mental health to academics. They're great meetings. It drives what we're doing. We're able to provide support to them and suggestions. We talk about how they're observing their teachers. We talk about all the surveys that we do, the stay interviews, the success surveys that we're offering, and what that data means, and what we do survey our students and our staff, and generally what those surveys are telling us is true. There's outliers, but the overall message of those surveys generally is very true with strengths and weaknesses of each school. It's good stuff. So it's been good. It seems like November and December are always really challenging months, and I think I forget that every year, but I think it's because it's like May, where at the end of a semester, all of a sudden grades matter. Students are either eligible or ineligible for extracurricular activities. Some students might get cut from a team, which is emotionally difficult. There's just a lot of emotion this time of year. So I wanted to really thank all of our staff, you know, Mike Willis, Nolan Anderson, Lisa Crane, Chet Torgerson, Chad Lloyd, all of these. Krista does constantly trying to read my mind as to what I want done. She just magically does it. But we have fantastic staff that helps us weather these things, as well as all of our principals, our assistant principals, our teachers. Things are going well. I met with the union, you know, the SEA Association president last night, and we have a great relationship. There's a lot of good going on. So that's all I had. Any questions? Okay.
Thank you, Superintendent. Mike.
Can I steal for a minute?
Yeah, pull her up.
Thank you.
Okay, I don't have a lot, but just going through it real quick. Starting with upcoming our Midwinter Institute, just a reminder to the board that we return after the break on the 2nd, and we flip-flop those 2 days. It's usually we start with Midwinter when we can, and then we have our next day, again, without the students, but it gives the teachers and the administrators an opportunity to implement what they learned in our Midwinter conference. Or in this case, they're going to have that day beforehand, so not so much an implementation, but a day that they could work on things that are unique to their school. And then on the 5th, the Monday, January 5th, we start with Midwinter. Just a reminder, we have Melissa Stockwell coming as our keynote speaker. Had the privilege of spending about an hour on a Zoom call with Melissa and her people yesterday, and it was a pleasure. She is outstanding. I'm really excited to bring her to our teachers, and she asked at the end, we went over the logistics, what she needs and how it looks and so forth, and then her question, which most of them have the same question, would you like a Q&A at the end? I said, absolutely. I said, but with the disclaimer that it depends on what mood our people are in, because sometimes the Q&A is full of questions and other times it gets kind of quiet in there. So just understand, we'll open it up, and I believe people would be intrigued to ask her some questions. She's such a unique individual and just such a story to tell. But like I said, it was a pleasure talking to her yesterday and her people that are working with her. It's been very professional getting this set up with her. I do this every year, and I'm impressed with an organization that runs as well as hers does. So really good stuff. The breakout session, I want to talk a little bit about kind of how that looks. So we're set up in SCED, and I think anybody can go into SCED, and let me just kind of show you. It would look, when you go into SCED, it'll ask, you put in the SS. Did he change it to? Okay. He changed it from Severe PD to SSD PD 2026. When you click on that, it'll take you to a schedule. You click on schedule, and then I just sent this out to all our teachers and principals yesterday to go in and sign up. I've kind of asked that they look at if it's getting full. If you wait, you might not get into the one that you want per the sessions, the breakout sessions. There's 4 breakout sessions. We try and respect everybody that has applied to be a speaker or presenter. So when one gets to about 20 people full, then we try and shift them to other ones. And some of them are repeated, sometimes as much as 4 times. But you can kind of see how that works. It's broken down with the legend over here on the side. It's got different emotional well-being, instructional, keynote, technology, and so forth. But they can go through and choose what they want per session. Gives them kind of a layout of the day. If you're interested in what one of those things might be, you can click up here on speakers, and then it's got a layout of the people that are speaking. I could take like Kathy Davis from USBE. She's presented at our conference several times. She's a good friend of mine. She does a lot with the emotional well-being and so forth. It gives a description, and then her 4 classes. You can even sign up on this part of the schedule. So, anyways, we're in the midst of that. I'll check in probably early next week with all our principals, have them go around and make sure all their teachers have signed up and they're ready to go when they get to Richfield on January 5th. So, excited for that event. I think it's going to be a really good one. It's been really good in the past, and if weather permits, we'll get all our speakers there, and things should go well. And so looking really forward to that. So you're all welcome to come and enjoy the keynote as well as the breakouts if you'd like. So I invite you to do so. I think you'll really enjoy it as well. Moving down in my items there, on assessment, as always, and it's just a revolving door of assessments. So we're kind of moving into the mid-year assessments already.
and we'll start taking the interim and some of those assessments that kind of give us an idea of where the kids are at this point in the year and then what we can do to improve before we get to the end of the year with the end of the year assessments. And so they're all listed on dates of windows that we have earmarked for those exams. And then moving down, I want to talk a little bit about trust lands. It's something that I know Superintendent serves on that board, and he spends a lot of time and effort working through that. And then here in our district, Krista does a great job helping us keep on line with that, with due dates and so forth. I want to just remind you, we do have our January 20th, we have our training. We've had several people from the state come down. We're lucky because this is rare that we have the same person come down twice because they have such a turnover up there. But Marcus Chen will be here on January 20th to work with our principals, looking at their current plans and what they can do to improve and give some advice that way and kind of help us through that. And it's something that we started, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, maybe 7 years ago, and it's served us very well. I think we fine-tuned our plans to where they're much better than they used to be, and I think they're getting better all the time. And so we do take their advice, and you know, I wish they were all on the same page, because 1 year's advice might be very different than the next year's advice, and so it's kind of hard to keep up with exactly what they want, but where they have different people in those positions. But Marcus has been a really good partner with that, and looking forward to meeting with him on the 20th with our principals. We do encourage our principals to invite their community council chair or, you know, somebody on their community council to come in and work with them through that process too. And then this is something new. Principals are required at this point when they are purchasing things using trust land funds to attach the corresponding goal from their plan so that there's no question where it fits in with their trust land goal, which is geared towards their highest academic needs. And so when they write those plans, they write those goals, we want it to all tie together so when they're purchasing things through that process, they look at their plan and they say, okay, this goal fits with that expenditure, so that goal goes with that one. So it's just another way to kind of keep us on track and make sure we're buying things that cover the bases when we write goals for these programs. So that's something new, and hopefully that'll help with some of the things that we've run into in the past. Superintendent talked a little bit about our assessment data reviews. We've been going around. We've hit the south end, and then we did Richfield yesterday, and I think next Tuesday we'll be coming over to Matt and the North Sevier area to sit down with them. This is something that I feel has become super important. So we give them the opportunity to share their data back with us and talk about celebrations as well as areas of improvement. We sit in the conference room, they put it on the big screen, and we go through lots of data points. Matter of fact, I've got the agenda. That's right here. So the agenda, we start out, again, going over assessment data comparison. That's what we call our green and black chart. I know Mr. Reese talked a little bit about where his school is on some of those things and pointed out some of the high points and some of the areas that he would like to improve as well. And so this is a very important thing. I don't think many districts do this, and I think it's very valid to, as far as the accountability, to go over some of these things, and not only the accountability piece, but also the celebration piece. It's huge to stay positive, and you know, we have a lot to be positive about. Matter of fact, when we start going through the data gateway, it's more for us at the district level to help them realize what tools they have at their disposal to improve what's going on. One of the things that, I'll just pull this up real quick. Let's see. I look at this one, the comparison. I know Superintendent talked about having Ryan Harris on the radio this morning. He talked about several things with North Sevier. And if the North Sevier people were listening to that radio spot this morning, they have a lot to be proud of. When he starts advertising the good things that are happening with assessment, and there was a lot to celebrate. I was super proud of what was happening that way with North Sevier High School, especially with new principal and bringing some new ideas and a new face there. They did really well. And one thing is, I'm competitive enough that when I look at something, and if we're not at the very top of the heap, I get frustrated, and I think we can always do a lot better. But as I was sitting over there, I started really going through the comparisons. And like I've told you in the past, when we do the comparing of schools, things that are in gray, oftentimes, that's good. We want the gray things because it means we're ahead of those people. But if we look over here, like on language arts, and this, I'm just threw in North Sevier High School, and it gives me 20 schools to compare it with. You see some orange here. That's an area that we can improve. But really, I started pulling up schools that weren't on this comparison list, and I'll be honest, we have a lot to be proud of. There was a handful of schools that if that was our district, I would be really worried. Ours I look at this one down here, this Launch High. I don't even know why that gets lumped in there. It's a magnet school for very specific pulling kids that are, like I said before, going to be astronauts or something, but it's not a normal high school, you know. And I made a comment the other day in one of our meetings, if it came down to the tiebreaker being us playing them in a football or basketball game, we would kill Launch High because they're missing out on several aspects of what high school is all about. So I'm glad we have well-rounded schools, well-rounded students, but academically we're doing really good. I hate to use names, but I'm going to the Grand County School District, Juab School District, Duchesne, the San Pete's. We blew them out of the water. So it's kind of like, you know what, I feel really good about where we are. Can we improve? Absolutely. There's always room to improve, but we are doing really well, and we need to celebrate that and pat our people on the back because we've got the best teachers, the best administrators, the best people in the district, or in the state, in our district, and we're doing some really, really good things. One other thing that I'll pull up is this is one data point that we present in those meetings. This is from one of our schools as an 8th grade language arts teacher, and I just randomly grabbed somebody. I didn't look for the top of the heap or anything like that. I just wanted some general information that I could share with you. What we do with this is an 8th grade language arts class in our district. The teacher did well. You look at these, so it starts listing the students that this teacher teaches in language arts. And as it goes through, it starts listing the high students and then the students that, you know, may not be your well above proficiency. That's what the four stand for. Now, the reason there's two of them, because it's previous year in this column. I could pull that. Well, and it's this year. And we're talking about last year, so it's the year before, and then last year's end-of-year data. But you see, generally, if a kid was a 4 the year before, they're probably going to be a 4 again. That's highly proficient. But as you go down, you see, if you see these green or blue, I'm not sure what color that is, you see that a student was, the year before, a 2, which means they were just under the line, and they moved to a 3. And so that's good. That's something to celebrate. You start looking at that. If they're red over in this column, this is SGP, which basically is talking about a year's growth, right? And so when we start talking about a year's growth, if it's at 40 or above...
I was just going to see if we could slide over the name. It's not good to have them on there.
Oh, you even see them? Yeah.
I wonder why won't let me just take your cursor. My vision was to just slide that over. I thought I could just take that whole screen and slide it over.
Yeah, I'd love to do. Let's see. I will just end there. Just kind of quickly look at the colors there. That just gives us ideas of where to improve. If you got a lot of orange over here, that's strands or concept areas that we can improve as well. So, anyways, it gives a lot of data from the data gateway, and that's the golden ticket. Is the state needs to improve on timing on getting that back out sooner, which they will. This last 2 years have been slow with data, so it's taken us a while to get to that point, but ultimately it's great information for our principals to sit down with their teachers on an individual basis, but also as a school, and look for areas that we can improve, and it gives them data points to use. Now, like I said, I don't think every district is doing that, and that's the catch, is if they would take time to do that, I think it would improve everything, and so I think we're going to continue to get better, and hopefully our principals are making that effort to use that data to improve what's going on in their schools. Go back to my last thing that I wanted to talk about is just one thing with our PLC conference. It's something that I bring up on a continuous basis, and that's been something that in our data meetings we talk a lot about PLCs. We talk about school safety. We talk about, let me just go right back here, you'll see all these different areas that we're focusing on, school wellness, and then follow-ups, PLC, F reduction, all these things that we work on. But the one thing with the PLC conference, consider the fact that we use Title II funds to fund that when we send people down to work on the PLC conference. But one of the things that through Title IIA that they're really focusing on is trying to help our schools that might be listed on TSI to get off of TSI. And so that's one thing, writing that into our PLC conference is something that we really invest in, something that we care about, something that we feel like is super important. It's just one data point that when the funds are coming through, we can justify that that's one area that we are spending funding on to help us, our schools that might be listed, depending on the category. And we have four schools right now that are listed in that category with students with disabilities. And so in the PLC process, when we take them down to that conference, that's one area they could pick breakout sessions that will help strategize and come up with a plan to improve what we're doing there. And so that's vital as well. And that's one thing I wanted to add to our PLC process, is trying to look at areas, you know, if we're going to maybe moving forward, look at giving special attention, maybe additional seats to those schools that might be struggling a little bit. And it is very doable to recoup or get off TSI if you're very strategic in your follow-through. And so the PLC process is part of that process. So anyways, that's all I have. Any questions for me? Okay. Thank you.
I'm going to make one quick comment. There was a recent audit done on a school district up north, and they didn't. That was one of the findings, was it was a school district up north that really was struggling with their data. They were struggling with student outcomes, graduation rate. You see what Mike just covered. And one of the major findings was the importance of holding those types of meetings, having a assistant superintendent that worked. The top two priorities are assessment and curriculum, and that's what Mike has done. Those are his top two priorities. That's what he's the chief worrier of assessment and curriculum. That's what it takes. So these meetings, they are effective. They help guide. We still have a long ways to go. We have a lot to celebrate. But it's really, really good. And we do have a long-standing tradition of, I think we've been doing those meetings for at least 15 years. Superintendent Nicholson started a really strong tradition of visiting schools and looking at data and challenging our practices. So I just wanted to compliment Mike. It really is an essential component that leads to success for students. It's hard work. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of energy, but it's worth well. Time well spent, work well spent.
Thank you, Mike. Chad, do you have anything for us today?
I don't. I talked enough earlier.
Well, you always tell us that you'll be brief. This is historic. All right, then. It looks like we do have a question. closed meeting, is that correct?
I don't think so. No, that was just the work session. So.
Oh.
Yep.
Well, now it looks like we don't have a closed meeting. So I would entertain a motion that we close this meeting. We adjourn.
I'll make that motion.
Thank you. Second. It's been moved and seconded that we adjourn this meeting. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Meeting is adjourned.